Welcome to the Pit Cop Podcast. We're diving into a topic today that, well, it's pretty crucial for building a satisfying life. The architecture of lasting relationships. We all get the initial draw, you know, the spark, the chemistry, that immediate attraction, but those things, they're kind of like the launch sequence for a rocket.
Right, they get you off the ground.
Yeah.
But they don't power the whole journey.
Exactly. So what does, what truly keeps a relationship airborne for years or even decades?
It's the essential question, isn't it? Moving past those superficial metrics, the real difference between a fleeting moment and something that endures. It's not the intensity of the spark. It's the sustained quality of the experience you share.
Absolutely. And our mission today is to do a deep dive into sources from Pitcott that explore the practical psychological mechanics behind it all.
Yeah, getting beyond the generic advice.
We're looking at how shared interests really function as that core factor, the daily glue, you could say, that turns a simple connection into a strong, resilient relationship. Okay, let's unpack this. The core thesis from the material is fascinating because it's all about the efficiency of connection. Pitcott suggests that shared interests create these frequent, almost low-effort chances to connect in a way that just feels natural.
Effortless, even joyful. It takes the negotiation out of spending time together.
That lack of negotiation is so important.
Oh, it's crucial. If you constantly have to persuade or compromise just to hang out for an hour, the relationship itself becomes a source of stress, not a refuge.
Yeah.
The analysis highlights how these shared activities act like a continuous glue holding everything in place. It just ensures you have a really high frequency of positive interactions.
Right. Like, if you both love cycling, your Saturday is just solved. You're building memories, facing little challenges, getting endorphins all together.
And you didn't have to schedule a formal team-building exercise to do it.
Exactly. Now, before we explore the practical side of this, I want to mention that this analysis is drawn from some of the bestseller ebooks you can find on the Pitcott ebook store.
They're fantastic resources.
They really are. They offer these incredible granular insights. So if you want the complete picture, you can download them right now by visiting www.pitcott.com/books.
We highly recommend those, especially if you're looking to build a more informed and robust relationship.
Definitely. And as always, please subscribe to our channel if you haven't and activate the notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads.
So jumping into the practical side, the role of shared interests is fundamentally about maximizing mutual enjoyment and, you know, minimizing friction.
Right.
The source material explains why this frequency is so vital. It provides these consistent, accessible reasons for couples to be together. If you both love doing the same things, you're just naturally doing more things that reinforce the bond.
And that directly counters that problem where relationships start to feel flat or forced after the honeymoon phase is over.
Precisely. If every activity means one person has to sacrifice their enjoyment, the relationship just starts to build up this negative debt over time.
Yeah, that makes sense.
What's fascinating here is the metric isn't the grand gesture. It's not about the big, expensive vacation. It's the consistency.
The little things.
The Pitcott analysis just emphasizes that the simple truth is this. The more you have these shared, mutually fulfilling activities, the higher the stability and trust in the partnership. It's the cumulative effect of hundreds of small, positive moments.
That brings us to a really practical question then. For anyone listening who's maybe starting a new connection or even looking at their current one, how do you spot that shared ground? You can't exactly give them a personality test on the first date.
No, but you can become an expert observer. The Pitcott material offers these brilliant observational ways to identify that shared spark early on. It's all about reading the signals.
Okay, so let's get into those signals. The first one is pretty subtle. Appearance. The material suggests looking beyond just attractiveness and analyzing style. You know, is their wardrobe all practical, outdoor ready gear? Or is it more meticulously styled, classy, chic?
And this is more powerful than people realize. That choice of style, it acts as this immediate high bandwidth signal of deeper priorities.
Deeper values even.
Exactly. If you both unconsciously lean towards, say, convenience and minimalism, that creates a totally different kind of common ground than if you both prioritize aesthetic presentation. It reveals how you approach the world.
The second way is a bit more obvious, hobbies. This is where you identify what lights them up.
Okay.
Do they play guitar? Are they obsessed with rescuing dogs? Do they love binge-watching thrillers?
This gives you immediate, actionable data. It's not just trivia. Knowing their hobbies gives you clear ideas for planning dates that tap into guaranteed enjoyment. It's a shortcut past the generic stuff.
And finally, the third way, and this one requires some real attention to detail, is preferences. We're talking about the tiny things.
The granular details.
Yeah, like how they react to a loud, busy street versus a quiet park. Black coffee versus a complicated latte with cream. The material says these small details matter a lot.
They matter because noticing them is the first step toward mutual psychological investment. It's not just about finding things in common. It's about signaling to the other person, I see you. I see the little things that bring you comfort and joy.
And that you're willing to incorporate them.
Exactly. That effort, that care.
Yeah.
That's what moves a relationship from just being an acquaintance to a real partnership.
So we've identified some potential common ground. Now, how do we actually apply this? How do we create those successful bonding experiences? We're moving from identification to application.
And the focus has to shift from expense to effectiveness. The sources are crystal clear on this. The goal of a great date is to maximize connection, not to maximize spectacle or how much you spend.
So a thoughtfully planned $25 date could be way better than a fancy but poorly planned $500 one.
Absolutely. Lower connection scores on the expensive one, higher on the thoughtful one, every time.
So how do we nail that connection-focused date?
The material breaks it down into four really powerful steps. Step one, pick the right activity. This has to align with the shared interest you found.
Okay.
So if you both love a bit of a competitive challenge, maybe a board game cafe is way better than a movie where you can't even talk to each other.
Yeah, good point. Interaction is key early on.
Step two. Choose the right place. This ties directly back to those preferences we just talked about. If you notice they get tense in loud, crowded places, choosing a busy restaurant is basically sabotaging your own success.
That makes perfect sense. If someone is anxious or overwhelmed by their environment, they're in a state of defense, not connection. They can't be present.
Exactly. Environmental comfort is a non-negotiable prerequisite for vulnerability. Which brings us to step three. Focus on details. The Pidcot analysis suggests incorporating small, unforgettable details. They call them micro-affirmations.
Micro-affirmations. That sounds very precise.
It is. A micro-affirmation is a small, personalized gesture.
Yeah.
Like remembering their favorite drink and having it ready when they arrive. Or bringing up a tiny anecdote from a past conversation.
It shows you are really listening.
It signals high attention to detail and profound thoughtfulness. And finally, step four is just the outcome of all this. Create comfort. You want them to feel totally at ease. The sources say that's when true connections bloom.
That framework is great, but it naturally leads us into the long game, right? Because building a relationship isn't about one perfect date. It's about the consistency of daily habits.
Right. The most spectacular date in the world means nothing if the next morning is just indifference.
Here's where it gets really interesting. The material gives these simple steps for lasting love that are so powerful because they demand that daily, deliberate effort.
Mm-hmm.
The first is foundational. Communicate openly. And this is more than just small talk. You have to really talk, share vulnerabilities, listen, you know, be real with each other.
It's about prioritizing understanding over being understood. The sources even suggest little daily check-in windows, maybe just 10 minutes, to make sure no emotional debt builds up.
Second, show gratitude. The analysis reminds us that genuine compliments and specific thank yous are just essential.
Not just thanks for dinner.
Right. More like thank you for planning a meal that was exactly what I needed after that crazy meeting today. Recognizing the effort reinforces their value.
Gratitude is the lubricant that stops people from feeling taken for granted.
Third, support dreams. And this isn't just passively agreeing. It means being their active cheerleader, their tactical refuge when they're struggling.
Viewing their goals as shared goals.
Fourth. Spend time together. And we're talking quality time that builds trust and real memories, no phones, no work distractions. And finally, number five, respect differences. This is paramount. You'll never match 100%. The sources emphasize that differences aren't weaknesses. They're actually sources of learning and growth.
To really illustrate how powerful these ideas are, Pidcot curated some case studies that show how these mechanisms work in the real world.
Oh, I love these.
Let's look at John and Emily. Their shared love was for wilderness hiking. Their first date was literally a trail walk, which immediately put them in this high-trust, shared challenge environment.
So nature became their love language, as the source puts it.
It did. The interest wasn't just a hobby. It became the framework for their entire life. Setting up camp, navigating trails, they were constantly building mutual reliance. That constant cycle of shared challenge and joint success just made their bond grow exponentially stronger.
Then there's the other example, Mike and Sarah. They started worlds apart. Mike was into competitive sports analytics. Sarah was all about classical art history.
Total opposites on the surface.
So how did they make it work?
They succeeded through shared exploration. Their strategy was active engagement. Mike started going to art exhibitions with Sarah, and not just tolerating it, but asking deep questions. And Sarah started learning the rules of baseball, trying to understand the strategy.
So the key finding there is that the effort of exploring each other's worlds created a new shared interest.
Precisely. The new interest was an interest in each other's joy. The material notes that the act of supporting and engaging brought them closer than any pre-existing similarity could have. It proves shared curiosity can be just as valuable as shared affinity.
That's a powerful idea.
It really is. And, you know, if you're finding this discussion helpful and want to explore more content like this, content grounded in real analysis, I want to briefly pause and remind you that you can find so much more, including our full catalog of research, by visiting www.pitcot.com.
Okay, we've established that shared interests are the glue, but let's be realistic. Life gets messy. Even the most aligned couples face huge challenges. How do you apply these principles when outside pressures are trying to pull you apart?
The source material gives some very targeted strategies. First, for busy schedules. The strategy is radical consistency. Don't wait for that perfect free weekend that might never come.
So what do you do instead?
You rigorously schedule short, daily check-ins. 5 minutes of dedicated, distraction-free time is so much better than 4 hours of interrupted half-present time.
What about miscommunication? That's a huge one.
The advice there is to reduce emotional reactivity. The goal has to be to listen more and react less. During a conflict, you have to shift your goal from winning the argument to simply clarifying the other person's feelings.
And the third major challenge, outside stress. Work, family, money.
Those have to be faced as a unified team. You have to reframe the problem. It's always you and your partner against the problem, never you against each other. Present a united front.
That partnership mentality requires so much flexibility because, as was said, no couple shares 100% of their interests, which brings us to the ultimate tool for longevity.
And that, according to the Pitcot sources, is the power of compromise. The analysis calls it the relationship's secret sauce.
So how do they detail that balance? Because it's got to be more than just taking turns.
It's a really sophisticated three-pronged approach. So sometimes you join in on what they love, sometimes they join in on what you love. But the key third element is the commitment to discovering something entirely new together.
So that third option keeps things from feeling like one person is always sacrificing?
Exactly. It keeps the emotional accounts fair and fun, as the source says. It prevents that silent resentment from building up.
And that all feeds into the long-term commitment. Keeping love strong isn't just a passive state. The material calls it a daily choice.
You have to actively maintain the relationship's momentum. Keep romance alive with small surprises. Grow together by learning new things. Stay connected. The small, consistent efforts, they compound over time into this incredibly powerful, lasting connection.
Wow.
So to sort of synthesize all these profound insights from Pitcot, shared interests are the catalyst. They light the spark, they provide the ease, the frequency of connection. But that lasting love that grows deeper through the consistent, deliberate application of care, respect, and mature compromise.
So it's talking honestly, supporting each other.
And constantly creating new memories, especially when you're facing those external challenges.
Yeah.
Which I think raises an important question for you, the listener, as you reflect on your own relationships. What do you think are shared interests, the absolute secret to lasting love? Or is it that willingness to explore and compromise that's the true bedrock of a partnership?
It was certainly clear that you need both, working hand in hand. And if you want to explore more resources, more strategies, and more deep dives just like this one, remember you can always visit www.pitcot.com. And please subscribe to our channel if you haven't and activate the notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads. Thank you for being there with us. Thank you for listening to the Pitcot podcast. I will leave a link in the description below.